Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, and I have a returning repeat offender co-host on the line, Deborah Hughes. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for agreeing to co-host the show today. You're back.
I know. It's always fun. Can't wait to come back.
For those of you that don't know Deborah, she is an amazingly talented artist, paints the most beautiful paintings, and you need to Google her. It's D-E-B-R-A-H-U-S-E, Deborah Hughes. And I saw Deborah earlier this week and caught her at a moment of weakness and said, hey, I need a co-host.
You know, I'm always here for you.
In fact, I want to let everybody know, I am teaching a workshop this November through the Deborah Hughes Gallery. It's November 5th through 8th, and we are going to be painting boats. I'm also going to throw in, and this isn't the only workshop I'm doing this for this year, but next year I'm going to do it with all my workshops, and that's I'm going to do a one-hour private consultation after hours with each student in the class for marketing. So, I'm really excited. It's just something that, as you know, I'm very passionate about. And looking forward to helping artists in any way that I can. So,
That's really valuable.
I think it'll be fun. The dates are November 5 through 8, as I said. And there's a link on my website on the information page about the specific workshop. And it's at the very top. It says contact Deborah Hughes Gallery, and I'll take you directly over. You can also call the gallery at 949-723-6171, hopefully I got that right, and register for it as well. So I also just posted the 30 and 30 painting challenge information. I cannot believe there are 9 days till September. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh.
And if you could see my studio right now, it is 3/4 of the way full with stuff for our beach house. So that's all going to come out by September 1, and I'm going to have my pristine studio back and start painting like a crazy woman. But I'm very excited for this challenge, and you'll see on my blog, you can just Google me and go to my blog, go to my website, follow the link, go to Facebook, it's on there. And all you need to do to sign up is just post a link to your blog on it at the bottom, and I'm hoping we'll have like 300 plus artists that are going to do the challenge. I've been talking about it for a really long time, and it's a great way to, I think, just take your art to the next level. So I'm very, very excited. So next week we have a wonderful guest, Ken Oster, who is an artist down in your neck of the woods, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
And I've taken a workshop from him, and he actually did a demo at the plenary convention, and afterwards I cornered him and said, Ken, you have to be on the show. So he's going to be on next week, which I'm very excited. But Deborah, I know you've got some exciting things happening in your art world. Please do tell us about them.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Sonoma is coming up. That's in September. If anybody would like to come up to Sonoma and watch the Sonoma plein air event and cruise around vineyards, drink a little wine, and come to our art show on the square.
Sounds fun to me.
The 21st of September is the date for the show on the square, so I hope people might like to come join us up there, so that's fun. Let's see, I have a workshop coming up too, Leslie, in October.
I know you do.
Just 3 days, but we'll be outdoors painting probably at Irvine Park and a couple other secret locations that I have for pulling it all together, so we'll concentrate on, you know, the basics and getting them all in place on your painting on location, which is hard to do. So I have some simple techniques that I help people to keep them calm and keep them focused and get a good painting. So that should be really fun. That's October 23rd through 25th. So you can also go to the Deborah Hughes Gallery website and check that out, along with a Jim Woodark workshop and a Kim Lortier workshop. So there's lots of things going on.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's that time of the year. It's a perfect time to, before
back-to-school
starts.
Speaking of that time of the year, we did just post our Holiday Treasures show.
Fantastic.
It's on online juried shows. And we do small sizes, 6x8, 8x8. But this year we have something new, which I'm not sure is even on there yet. It's going to be 3x3, 4-year tree. A 3x3, 4-year tree. And it's really small little framed paintings. and we have room for 100 of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I think that'll be so fun. So
what a great idea.
Like, they could be ornaments or they could be gifts or something like that. So something new. So check it out.
So if you're interested in entering a 3x3, what an easy painting to do during the 30 and 30 painting challenge.
Hey, that's a great, because we also accept 6x8, 8x8, and then now this new 3x3. So it's all these small gem sizes. So that would be great for your 30-day
painting. It would be really great way. And you could do more than one 3x3 in a day and get ahead.
There you go.
You definitely could.
Although
painting that small, I don't know. How fun is that? That's wonderful.
Yeah,
how
I'm
exciting.
Just dying to see what might turn up. So it should be very interesting.
That's wonderful. That's terrific. Well, today's show is really fun. You know, last week we talked about blogging, and this week we're talking about websites. And it's kind of funny because it was a year ago this week that I redesigned my entire art website. And forget the fact that I was on vacation and my family was really mad at me that I was on the computer, like, all the time. But, you know, I just kind of got doing it, and it needed to be done, and I'm so glad I did it. So I also taught a website workshop earlier in the week and can proudly say 7 artists at the end of the day walked away all with a new website that they had each designed. And it just made me realize how important it is to have a facelift, because if you think about it, you know, when was the last time you read your own website? And I'm talking about, like, you looked at every page, clicked every link, and read every word on it. Okay, I don't know if I've ever done that. So that's bad. So what? This is really kind of a chance to think, okay, I either want a major rehaul, I just want to get my website working better, I want it to look nicer, or I really want to sell more art, and maybe I need to give my website a facelift. So you need to decide if you're happy with your website, does it need an upgrade, how effective is it, and, of course, how many visitors are you getting? And that's interesting because I wonder if everyone even knows, which is really important to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is you want to evaluate your website and what you have. And if your website isn't bringing the results you want, then it's time to figure out why. So to do this, you want to take a step back and assess your site as objectively as possible. So when you do this, and this is what I do every time I do a consultation with an artist, is I step back and look at it as if I am a person who wants to buy a painting. So when you go to your website and look at it, don't look at it through your eyes. Look at it through the eyes of someone who could come to your website and buy your painting. And you need to be ruthless in your critique. So the more honest you are with yourself during the evaluation, the more effective it's going to be. And when you look at your website, be sure you look at it not only on your computer, but also on your cell phone. Because there's a very good chance that at least 50% people, if not more, when they go to your website are actually
looking at it. Yep.
On a cell phone, and you would be kind of shocked in some cases when you see how it looks. So there's kind of 6 things we've identified that you should look at, and the first is website load speed. I mean, how long does it take, you know, your website to load a complete page? And the longer it takes, the more sales you stand to lose. So there is a lot of information online of ways to make your Google web speed go faster, and I found a really great site. And I'm actually going to put the notes for this show up for purchase because there's so many pages.
Yeah, a lot
but
of
there,
info.
There's a website that you can go to that I found. It's GarinKilpatrick.com, and it's GarinKilpatrick.com /make-your-website-faster. You can also just Google, how do I make my website faster? But there's a lot of really great information. Some of it gets a little complex, and that's why I like this one. I think it's a little more basic as to what you can do to improve your loading time. So very, very important. If it takes forever, the first thing you want to do is go into your pictures and make them smaller files because they're taking way too long to load.
Yeah, totally. I definitely do that for all of ours because we have so many pictures of all our paintings from our great artists that we have at the gallery, and so we have all super low res so that they load really quickly. And I've definitely gone to other websites before where if it's not loading right away, I go, okay, goodbye, I'm going to the next thing. So,
done.
You know, who's got the time anymore? It's ridiculous. So it's important.
Definitely. It's ruthless, but true.
When you get to a new website or that you're looking at, something needs to capture your eye. You know, you need something, a big splash. So instead of starting with sign up for my newsletter or something like that, you definitely want to go in with one of your strongest paintings, I would suggest, so that it has a focal point and people are just taken in right away.
Uh-huh.
They're not looking all over the place at a whole bunch of little teeny badges and information all over the place on their first page is very important.
It's really smart. It's really smart. And I know is there a way to figure out what that focal point is that people see when they look at your website?
Well, you certainly want to, you know, just bring up, like you said, have somebody be ruthless. Maybe you should get your husband or your wife to sit next to you so that they can be a second eye because they're going to probably be ruthless, or your best friend. And, ask them. I mean, that's what I would do. Ask them, what's the first thing you see? And, you know, did it grab your attention? And, you know, that's definitely the easiest way to do it. Close your eyes, maybe, and open your eyes and see what it is, the person that you go to, and feel decide if you feel like that's strong enough to keep them involved and keep them looking through the next few pages.
Yeah, because I know figuring out what is the first thing that someone looks at when they see your website. And like you said, if you close your eyes and load your website and open them up, take note of the part of your site that you go to first. And whatever you see first is probably what other people are seeing. And that's that thing that you want to make sure it's what you want them to see.
Right.
Because if it's a big box of text, that's probably not working for you. Especially if you're trying to sell art. So, visual appeal is the third thing that's so important. And you've probably heard the sayings, content is king, or design doesn't matter. And you know what? Those really aren't true. Recent studies have shown that the visual appeal of your site makes a measurable impact on its effectiveness. So there is some research that shows that people make a decision about whether or not they like your site in, ready for this, the first 1/20th of a second. Okay, how scary is that?
Wow.
So, I mean, what you have to realize is, and I know I said this in the workshop the other day, is people aren't going to stay on your homepage for 10 minutes. And so you've got like mere seconds where you've got to grab them. So you need to make a positive impression with your website and make it count immediately. So visual appeal is really important. And
Absolutely.
That goes to white background. Do not have a dark background. It's too hard to read. But anyway.
Oops. I better get back to my website. Hurry. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you think the black shows off the images so quickly, but it does take a long time to load. So I am absolutely one of those people, and I am also in the middle of revamping my website. So this is all excellent information.
What I did a year ago. I had a black background, and once I started getting rid of it, I was like, what was I thinking? Yeah, that's what prompted it.
Color schemes is the next thing we should think about based on what you were just saying. There's so many different things that color, you know, how it affects the way you like something, or when people are making purchase decisions, it's something as simple as choosing the wrong color for your site can make a difference. So if you, you know, probably don't want to go with a pink unless you're selling, you know, baby things or girly things. You know, if you want to have something really clean, of course, go with white, which I thought your idea was really good there. There's a lot of psychological effects colors have on people. And so after doing our research, we found a couple of really good websites that you can look at. And it's funny because I was comparing these, Leslie, and there's the one that we're first going to mention is called colormatters.com. So write that down and check that out. It has a lot of information. But
it's
I have
C-O,
to tell you.
Let me spell it. Hold on. It's colormatters.com.
Very good. Thank you. I compared that with this next one. The next one is a really neat one, which
it's unbelievable.
I actually prefer. And I have it up on my computer right now. And it's blog. kissmetrics.com, and that's spelled blog.kissmetrics.com. And they actually caught my eye right off the bat with color, and they got right to the heart of the matter. And on the other one, I have to say, it made me search. for the information. So this KISS Metrics has a lot of really neat information on color, marketing,
it's about,
branding.
It's geared to the psychology of what makes you buy things.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it really hones in on color and how it affects people. So everyone should go to that website. It's unbelievable.
I know. Like yellow is optimistic and youthful, and it grabs your attention. Red is usually used for clearance sales. Blue is trust and security and probably for more conservative buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought green was interesting. It's associated with wealth, and it's the easiest color to process. But you have to be careful. Green might be one of those dark colors that doesn't load very quickly, too. So you kind of have to pick and choose where to use your colors. Maybe it's just a bar or a box or the typeface or something like that. So
yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, if I had to think about all this, it would give me a headache every day. A lot of it hopefully comes intuitively. But the more information you have, I think the better. So that's really interesting. Okay,
yeah,
number five is website readability. And this involves two parts. First, you need to make sure that the audience can understand what you're saying and your meaning. So you have to be sure you write easy-to-read sentences by avoiding complicated words, bad grammar. Use simpler words, and if it exists always. On your website, this is not where you're writing, you know, 20 paragraphs of text. I mean, you're writing simple things. So even your headings, I've had people who have made it really confusing as a first-time visitor to find where their paintings are because they have some weird names for. I mean, gallery is okay, but I've seen some really odd ones. And it's like I had to stop for a minute and go, which tab on here would have their artwork? And you don't want that to happen. You want it to be really simple and very, very clear. And if you're not sure, you know, look at other websites of other artists and see what they're doing because there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. And the second thing, and this is really interesting. I did not know this. I just learned this yesterday. You have to cater your content to how people read online. So there's a guy named Jacob Nielsen. He discovered that people read websites in a modified F pattern. So what that means is it's F as in Frank. They scan each page with their eyes in roughly the shape of the capital letter F. So I actually have, if you buy the notes for this show for a whopping $6, I have some graphics on here that show the way people read. They kind of start to the left and go across the top in kind of this F pattern, and it's really bizarre how it works. So you want to place your critical content within that area of your site, and it'll help drastically what people see.
Do you know what? I totally do that. I totally scan the first thing, then maybe the second header,
and then
I go down for a little content. I
get
down to the middle, and then I skip down to the end and the beginning of the header. If it's not a summary that interests me, then I'm like on to the next page. So,
I mean, as
really
I'm talking to you, if I take my eyes away from my computer screen and I go back, I know I exactly look at it in that F pattern. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how I figured that out. But knowing that tells you where to put the content on your website.
Right.
Kind of interesting, huh? So.
Yeah, and to keep, like you were talking about the copy, it needs to be really simple. Don't get fancy and wordy, you know.
And not easy fonts to read.
Easy font, right. They have so many of those really neat little scripty, fancy, arty fonts, and unfortunately they are very hard to read.
And
when
half
people
of them
don't want to take the time to hassle with it, they just move on, so keep it simple.
Exactly.
Huh. See, I think number six on our list is a really good one, and I think it's a super important one, is to check out your peers. You know, go think of some of the artists that you really admire. Go to their websites and see what the heck they're doing because they've probably gotten some really good help, hopefully, and they hopefully have some great ideas and ways to present their art, but also ways to sell your art. So that's something that's important. So what are they doing differently than you are? How does their site compare to yours? You know, what's their coloring? What's their typeface?
Mm-hmm.
Is it more professional looking? Or is it more creative? Is it more interesting? And write down the things that you notice and why. Do they have similar color schemes or totally different? What keywords? That's an important thought. What keywords are they using? So there's some words that you might be able to add to your descriptions of yourself or your paintings or whatever that might fit for you. Make sure it fits for you and you're not just taking from somebody else that it doesn't apply to you. But, you know, keep it, it's a really good way to compare. And arming yourself with this research helps in a lot of ways. So the first one is obviously to get ideas. Not all your visitors come to your site first. They might be at another artist first, and then they come to your site. And so they're aware of the competition. They're aware of how that compares. And so you should be too. And that'll help you make your site more effective.
Really good point. Yeah.
And then also studying, it's really kind of on the same line. Studying what your competitors have, reveal your own weaknesses. So you go, oh, shoot, I didn't even think I should have that page about, how to buy a painting or something that you have on yours. You have so many good ideas. Everybody should always be looking at Leslie's site because he's, you know, take from the master and copy from the master. At any rate, they might, you know, they'll give you lots of good ideas. And if they're offering a new service or a topic, you know, you should consider doing that. Sometimes the other artists that you look at, your competitors, might have weaknesses that you can learn from. So definitely want to really study that and make notes.
Yeah. And I know we call them peers or competitors, but you know what? I mean, we're in business, so they are other artists. You can call them competitors or not, but they are. They're people that you're either trying to aspire to. And no, I don't think we're directly competing with them, but I think it's really important to know what's happening out there. Because if you don't, you live in your own bubble, you could be missing out big time. So
that's true, but we're a brotherhood. We got to stick together.
You know it.
Yeah.
But I think but sometimes you have to stop and think, okay, what's everybody else doing? How come that person's selling so much art?
Right.
And there's things that you can pick up and learn from. So.
Sure.
Okay, so once you've kind of done this evaluation, you kind of have to convert your evaluation into action, obviously. And so you really want to kind of, when you've gone through these six steps, go through and kind of outline, you know, what you think you can do, create a timeline, and spend time testing and tweaking each modification. And it's really important. So, you know, what do you need to do to give your site your website a facelift? The first thing you have to do is take control of your website. If you don't have a really easy way to make changes to your website, like adding new paintings, then you have to fix that.
That's so important.
And I can't tell you, I would say less than half of the people listening to this show can do that.
Oh.
And I'm guessing that. And I'm just basing this on people who I've done consultations with, artists that I've talked to in my workshops. And here's why. We're artists. We want to paint. Most people don't want to spend time on their computer. So when they decided they want a website, they hired someone and paid them a ridiculous amount of money. They had a friend do it. They had a child do it who's now off in college. There's all these ways of getting a website, but the problem is if you can't change it and access it, then it's a big problem.
You know, many people have that frustration, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. And that's why I started doing what I'm doing with the marketing, with webinars and teaching these one-day website seminars, because it drives me crazy. It's so not fair to artists. And granted, there are some people out there who, yes, could not build a website. But, Deborah, you saw this week, there's a lot of people who don't know a lot about computers who kind of did create a website.
Well, we're fortunate, you know, that there's so many new ways.
Absolutely.
Go about that.
Absolutely. And if you know you can't do it, then you do need to find someone who can help you, and you need to do it cheaply, because as we found out this week, you can build a website for free and have it online and have it working and sell your art, and it won't cost you anything. So, or then you can upgrade to the, you know, the pro version of this program we were using for $3 a month. I mean, it's so inexpensive. And it's really not as complicated as you would think. It doesn't involve coding. It doesn't involve that. And I know I have artists that I talk to all the time that say, you know what, I just want to paint. I just want to find someone to sell my art. In a perfect world, that would be great. But you know what, that kind of doesn't exist. I mean, granted, it would be awesome if we could all have galleries sell our art for us all day long. But there's so many artists out there and so much great art that you have to do a lot of the legwork yourself when you're getting started.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. You've got to be out there.
Exactly. And I hate to break the news, but it does take work. I mean, as an artist, you have to paint, but you also have to work in selling your art if that's what you want to do. So if you haven't taken control of that, that has to be your number one goal. And don't do any, you can't do any of these other things anyway because you can't access your site. And I hear all the time artists that say, well, I paid someone to build my site and change it for me, but I don't have the passwords. And that just kills me. Like, what do you mean you don't have the passwords? You called that person and you tell them right now to give you the passwords. You paid them. So I know I could go on like a crazy woman, but
I know.
Anyway.
Well, and let's list a bunch of them at the end of the show for people to go. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so once you've taken control of your site, then you can move out and move on and make it better. So the first thing you want to do is simplify. You know, do you have three sidebars crammed with different widgets? You need to look at each page of your site and ask yourself, what one action do you want someone who comes to your website to do? Is it sign up for your email list? Maybe, but it could be look at your paintings. Do you want them to pick up the phone and call you? Whatever. So whatever it is, make that the main action on that page. Don't give them too many things to do. Think about what you want to happen when people come to your site, because too many choices cause confusion. But simplify is really important. If you've got way too much stuff going on, you might want to take some things out.
Boy, that's making me think I have to work some more on my site again, too.
I know. I was so overwhelmed.
Where do I put everything? You have to fix all the problems. So that would be the second thing to note, make a little note, fix the problem. So you have to go through regularly and check on all your pages and make sure that things are not getting left off, that things have not, you know, things are still linked. Links get broken. Pages sometimes have a different font or a different color and you didn't even realize it. You want to be consistent. The whole site can look really chaotic and sloppy and confused if you don't really take the time. You know, and something else about we haven't mentioned and should somewhere along in here is those PayPal buttons, which I love so much. But those are the kinds of things. A PayPal button could get moved to the wrong place on your page.
Right.
And what I do, the way I do it, it can easily get moved. And so you have to always be checking and double checking to make sure. So take the time to check each page, smooth out the bumps, and make sure information is accurate, and definitely that the links are working.
Yeah.
You probably have to go online to do that, too. Yeah.
The third thing is to think about a makeover. And I know you're thinking, huh? But if your site hasn't got a new look in several years, it's probably starting to look a little outdated. You as an artist has probably changed. Styles on what looks good on websites has certainly changed. It's probably changed in the last 3 months, not 3 years. So customers kind of become bored and they feel nothing's new is happening in your art business. So consider a redesign. And that's what I did last year. I did the huge, big redesign. And I can't even believe it. As I was doing it, I was embarrassed that my website looked the way it did before. And so I was racing to be able to launch the new one because I couldn't believe how awful I thought it looked once I got into it. So
I have to ask you then, how often do you think it's important to do a whole new site versus a new front page, for instance?
You know what? I don't think, because I was changing from a black background to a white background and kind of changing the layout and everything else, I mean, that was a big revamp. I don't think I would do that more than every 3 or 4 years.
Oh, thank God.
Good answer. But changing your front page is such a fabulous idea. I mean, that's a great idea. And that can be your makeover, changing one page.
Yeah.
But you need consistency through your website. So be careful that you don't change your front page and it doesn't look like anything else. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So makeover is important to think about.
Okay, and let's see, the next thing would be to add news and stories.
Yeah.
And if you want to get some free media coverage, I'm not sure which comes first, the chicken or the egg, but I try to do it all at the same time. Just go ahead and write a press release, you know, and get it out there in social media, get it out to newspapers, magazines, anywhere you can. But be sure and put it on your website, too, because sometimes a newspaper or a magazine is looking at your website looking for new information that they didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you never know when a nice opportunity might come along by somebody looking at your website.
That's
so
true.
When potential collectors visit, they'll scan the little news stories and PR notes, and they'll get a sense that your business has a lot going on and
that's
things
so
are
important.
Exciting. And hopefully, you know, things are exciting and there's a lot going on. And all of those create interest across the board on all different medias and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you have something wonderful happen to you, you get in a show or, you know, anything it might be, it makes people get excited about what you're doing, and it might lead to a whole nother series of opportunities. So that's a really important thing.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes I talk to artists, and they're like, oh, I feel like I'm bragging. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You're not bragging. You're sharing good news that's happening. And don't look at it as bragging. Look at it as sharing. It's like marketing. To me, I say, don't use the word marketing. Use the word sharing, and it makes all the difference in the world. So the next thing is to refresh your About Me page, and that could be on your tab. If you don't have one, you need one. But it can be called About the Artist, About Me, whatever. But this is usually the second most visited page of any site, which means obviously it's an important page that needs to put a friendly face on your art business. So you want to have your mugshot up there. But you want to rewrite fresh news, you know, awards that you've won, new paintings that you've introduced, exhibits, and significant career events. So don't think once you've got that up there, you don't have to look at it for a couple years because it's going to be outdated. And you're selling yourself short if you don't update it. So very important.
You know, I have a question for you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Should the About Me page, and maybe it's different for every artist, would it be About Me or would you do it from a third party as though someone else did the whole website for you and you didn't do it?
If you do About Me, then it's going to be in first hand. You know, it's going to be in first person. But I think if you do About the Artist, then I would absolutely suggest you don't do it in first person because it's really hard to say, Leslie, I am an award-winning artist. You know
right.
what I mean? It's a lot easier
right.
to
That's
say.
What
Leslie
I was getting
Faden
at.
Is an award-winning artist. So
it might look
I would,
better.
Yeah, so yeah. I would actually title it About the Artist instead of About Me because
there
then it
go.
Takes it from first to third person.
That and that you should do that on all your press releases too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You don't
yeah.
need to say I this. So pretend
mm-hmm.
that you have a PR guru, which of course you do.
Your people.
Yeah, your peeps. So you always want to make it look like your peeps sent everything out and you did
mm-hmm.
not send it out. You know,
that is
and
such
then
a
that
good
way
point.
You don't have to feel like you're bragging either.
Yeah, I'm so
you know,
glad you brought that up.
They're doing that as a reference for you to, so they can sell more of your paintings. So
yeah.
So there you go. That's important. Now, blogging. You know, that's a page, everyone, if you listen to last week's artist radio show with Leslie and your guest artist, who was wonderful.
Dottie.
The blog. Pardon?
It was Dottie Leatherwood.
Dottie,
yes.
That's right, yes. She was great. But blogging is so huge. And, you know, I'm just one that's getting into blogging myself. Just now, but you guys got me on that one because it really hit home that when you blog, it automatically goes onto Facebook and it goes into somebody's email
mm-hmm.
without you having to send out an email. So I was
mm-hmm.
like, whoa, I didn't realize that's a huge gold star on blogging.
Yeah.
Plus it adds, you know, interesting stories and people that people can get involved in. So if your website has a blog, then you need to make sure you update it all the time. Try not to let it sit there for too long and make sure, because you don't want to do a blog and then not go back to it for a year. I talked to a couple of really great artists recently that said that, oh, man, I haven't done anything on that for so long. So blogs are important. They can drive new prospects to your site, but they can also get dusty, dated. And
right.
So you want to make sure that you're up to date and get that blog into gear. Post once a week if you can. Or get rid of it. So listen to last week's radio show.
Yeah, that was really a kick in the pants for me, which I'm not quite acting like I'm preaching. But the other thing is make sure that links to your blog are everywhere. So when you go to your website, it's real easy for someone to find your blog. And then when they go to your blog, make sure it's really easy for them to find your website. Just saying.
Oh, Yes. And on your blog, yeah, you definitely want them going to your website so they'll buy your paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And on your
email, yeah,
you want people to go to your blog and your website, so don't forget. I know we're talking about websites, but they're all intertwined. So on the bottom of your email, you should have those signatures on there that have links on your
True.
Email to everything, like Leslie does.
The next thing is don't be mysterious. Okay, you would not believe how many artists' websites I've gone to where the phone number, now address is something you can or can't put, I don't care, contact name, prices, names of paintings, sizes of paintings, either don't exist or are impossible to find. And you're thinking, really? And I'm like, yeah. There have been times where I can find the artist's name, but no contact information. And also, sometimes people have those forms that you have to fill out to contact them. I hate those.
Yeah, especially the ones where you have to add all those letters and numbers that you can't
read. Yeah, and it just feels super, I don't know. I mean, if I see a painting I see right now, number one, I should be able to buy it without having to even talk to the artist. And I've said that about 1,000 times on this show. But putting that aside, people need to be able to contact you, so do not be mysterious. You want your contacts in bigger fonts, up higher, and visible on every page of your site. Not hidden under a contact tab. Have your email and your phone number on the bottom of every page or the top of every page, wherever, just because you don't want to lose that, you know, that instant purchase. And if someone wants to ask you a question, you want to be able to have them reach you. So don't be mysterious.
Absolutely. I mean, I just went on a site recently. I couldn't believe it. Same thing. Not a single place for me to call or email to ask a question or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do they think they're going to sell anything, especially?
I
or
know.
Get invited to shows? You know, from the gallery standpoint, we're looking to invite people to shows possibly. If we can't reach them, then guess, hey, they won't be there.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So it's super important.
So true.
People need to be able to get a hold of you. So another thing is to make your website an experience. Now, that's a really fun thing to do because websites are so interactive these days. You can do a lot. You know, if you just think of your website as a few pages on the web and just some information, back in before 2000, that was pretty simple and accurate, and that's kind of all people knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2013, things are so different. There's so many more things that you can add and to make your website an experience. And what do we mean by that? Well, you can put on movies, TV shows, radio programs like AHA, e-books, blogs, photo galleries, animations, video games, video chat, social media, of course you want the social media site connections in there, all sorts of things that can go on there. And actually, if anyone has a second to look at my personal website, DeborahHughes.com, I did have some fun with that. I threw in a page with albums, and there's a bunch of movies in the albums, insider information so that people I know, like the Hugheses, who have a beautiful vineyard up in Sonoma,
mm-hmm.
So I will be staying out here in September. I have a link to their entire website and you know, inside information on their website. And I have my brother has a restaurant, so inside information to that restaurant, things like that that are really fun. There's a whole page of just movies. So, I mean, you could do all sorts of fun things. And it just keeps people on your site longer, and it gets them more interested in who you are and what you do. And all these things will help you sell paintings.
That's so true. Because remember, people buy paintings they like, but they buy more paintings from artists that they like.
That's right.
And the more they get to know you, the better. And the more interesting and interactive your site is, it's important. So the next thing is to express your brand's identity. And, you know, every artist is going to develop an identity over time. And some of this is given, acquired, and created. But chances are you've already done a great deal of work kind of establishing your own branding, and we've talked about this in a couple of shows. Excuse me. So when you look at your website, does it express your brand identity? Do the colors, photographs, and videos all support the essence of what your art is? Probably not entirely. So it's kind of a difficult ongoing task, but take a look at your website and think, are there some easy changes you can make to make it represent you better? then you always need to be doing that. Always have that eye when you go to your website, because there's probably some simple things you can do to express your brand even better.
Absolutely. The next point might be to invite interaction on your site. So you don't want to just be blah, 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 but I don't care what you have to say. So it's really nice to invite people to comment, invite your visitors to interact with you. So a website can be a portal for comments, videos, chat, social networking, and more. Actually, the easiest way would be to invite interaction, obviously, by including social media features, mm-hmm. so people can then go from your site and comment. A blog, people can certainly blog and interact with you there and suggest further along some thought ideas that you had. Don't forget to encourage your fans to join your email list. You probably have constant contact or something like that would be
right.
great to invite them for your newsletter. And you could hold contests on your website if you want, or on your blog, and then your website, so it interacts. Leslie, you do that, obviously, which is really exciting. You do the 30 days, 30 paintings, and a lot of different things like that. Ask your users to send photos, painting suggestions, and other content you can post on your site. Well, that's interesting. I like that. Co-create your website with your users, and they'll always come back to check you out and see more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you ask, I mean, there's a lot of artists out there that paint things, and they say, send me photographs, and if I choose it, I'll paint it. And then people are now coming back to your website looking, or your blog, to see if you've chosen their painting or their photo. How smart is that? So anytime you can create kind of that interaction, you're going to get people to come back for more. Really, really important. Yeah. The next is to keep your site consistent, which I briefly touched on, and this kind of goes to the brand identity. You know, if every page on your website has a completely different page layout, different colors, different buttons, everyone's going to be so confused. They may not even realize that they're on the same website after a few clicks because so many things are different. If you intentionally want to do this, that's fine. But you want to be consistent to help your visitors easily get what they want and learn more about your brand identity at the same time. One of the things I do in the webinars class on the very first day is I have everyone look at their website, their blog, their Facebook page, their newsletter, and see if everything shows your brand and is it all consistent. And I would highly encourage you all do that because mine is really consistent. Everything kind of goes. And
what is your brand exactly? How do you, yours is your logo, your coloring?
It's colorful palette knife strokes with my logo, I think is kind mm-hmm. of my brand, if mm-hmm. you will. And it involves a lot of things. It involves something I'm very passionate about, and that's helping artists. It involves palette knife painting, which is still kind of a unique form of painting. And it involves kind of the understanding the joy and the love of doing what we do, and that's probably kind of the theme that goes throughout everything I try to do. So, and you just try to make that happen. But visually, it's a lot of it's my logo, but a lot of it's also showing those palette knife strokes. But it's kind of the same heading everywhere, and I think it's really important to have that because it gives you that brand identity.
Very cool.
So
I'm
be
sure,
consistent.
Yeah. And you should use more than words, though. We kind of already touched on that a bit.
Yeah.
And you know that song, the 90s hit by Extreme? I was going to sing it, but I just stopped myself, thank God. But
more than words.
Support. Write brilliant copy, but mostly also use pictures of your art, videos. There's so many neat websites out there now.
Yeah.
When you're building, you can include surveys and sign-up forms and polls and all sorts of cool
we
stuff.
We had fun with that this week. Absolutely.
Yeah. I hope we can touch on that later, too, once we get into that section. But whatever you can do to tell your story and involve your audience and make things more interesting is definitely the hot ticket.
Yeah. The next thing is don't forget about screen size. And, of course, more and more people are using tablets, iPads, all the other tablets and mobile phones to access websites. So you need to make sure your site looks good on all of these devices. You need to make sure your website works, and you also need to avoid Adobe Flash because Flash doesn't work on most Apple devices. And Adobe Flash is when you come up to a website and it does all those things where different pictures come on and it's like a slideshow. Now, there's a lot of sites like WordPress and like the one we use this week where it doesn't use Flash. It still does that and it works and it shows on an Apple device. But do not build a website that is based on Adobe Flash on your front page or else people will open it up on their iPad or their iPhone or an Apple device and they won't be able to see it. That's a problem.
Aha. Uh-huh. That is a problem.
Yeah.
Apple should fix that. Hello, anybody out there?
No, they never will. They hate them. No. Adobe and Apple are like oil and water. It's never going to happen.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't use Apple, but a lot of us artists are on the Apple bandwagon. The next point is to offer value at your site. Why do we go to websites in the first place? Because we think there's going to be things worth experiencing on the web. What does this mean for you as a website owner? You've got to give away some killer content for free. I know, free, but what do you think would happen if you charged a fee every time someone visited your website? And most of us aren't going to do that anyways, but you want to have plenty
of
free,
reason to go there.
Exciting.
Give them a reason.
Yeah. Gently suggest they buy your paintings and sign up for your workshops after they become invested in your brand, but give them some information to read. So that means I better get busy. These are really good points.
I know. It's kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
The next topic, and believe it, this is number 15, don't send your website visitors in the wrong direction. Okay. Your website is your home base. It is your online store. This is a place where you send all of your friends and fans to buy your art, and it's the most important place your visitors can go. So we have all these other things that we do, like Facebook, blogging, newsletter, and Twitter. But the reason why we have those is to send everyone to your website. So you want to think about always publishing your best content on your website and sending people there. And I am guilty. I do not do this. I use my blog for so many things, and people don't ever even go to my website. Well, that's where my paintings are for sale. Duh. And the same with Facebook. Now, when I post a painting on Facebook, I always put the link right below it to where you can go onto my site and buy it. So I do try to send them that way. But don't send your visitors away from your website to your blog and other places where it's really hard to buy your art. So go ahead. No, I was going to say, think about what you're trying to do, why you have all these things, and don't lose the focus of, oh, yeah, I have all these things because I want to sell my art or I want to sell my workshops or whatever it may be.
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, you set up your website in such a neat way where each painting has its own page with a buy now button.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that because then you can have a specific link. So when you post on Facebook, you have a specific link, so you could talk about this painting, and people can go, "Oh, I want that," and they can push the button and buy it. I mean, it's just that's why you're the guru.
Yeah, if you only have a gallery, and you don't have a specific page for each site, then you can't do that. So on my newsletter, anytime there's a painting, boy, you click on that photo, boom, it takes you to the page where you can buy it.
Yeah,
so makes a difference.
Yeah, and giving them some options. We've kind of already touched on the base of, you know, making sure there's videos to watch or maybe some demos. Demos is really good to have on your website.
Yeah.
Try to offer demos, videos, good copy, and, of course, lots of photos of your paintings. But the biggest thing that I've learned and that you would like to reiterate, I'm sure, is not to have music playing in the background of your website because it gets in the way and people can't stand it. And you can't turn it off. There's a couple of sites I've been to, and I would hit mute, but it seems like it would keep coming this music out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So don't have autoplay. I suppose if you wanted to have music, make it so that the person interacting can push the button and play the music they want.
You know what? Just don't have music.
I agree.
Because what you like may be what someone finds offensive, and the last thing you want is someone to come to your site and have them worried about turning off the music and not buying your art.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah.
The next step or thing you can do is monitor your visitors. So you need you need to have Google Analytics or StatCounter or something so you can learn about your website visitors. Now, these tell you where your visitors come from and where do they go when they land on your site. And this can help you improve your website experience. So, you know, if you have a lot of visitors from mobile phones, then you need to work on that mobile experience and make sure that your site is very, very easy to navigate. If your bounce rate is high on a page, maybe it needs some improvements. If people never click on the button you want them to, maybe you should feature it more prominently. So analytics can tell you a great many things about user experience. I used to spend way too much time on StatCounter, and I would go through when I'd post a painting and see where people were coming from, where they would go, because I just wanted to know. And fortunately, now I'm too busy. I don't have time to do that. But it's a really important thing you should do every once in a while.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And what is a bounce rate?
A bounce rate is when people are leaving, going away.
Oh, that's on there somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Darn. If anyone doesn't know about StatCounter, StatCounter is super cool. You can embed a little HTML on each page, and it will tell you who's been there, how long they were there, if they were new, if they were returning.
And it doesn't tell you the person. It only tells you where city they're in.
Yeah, it tells you where they're from, what page they're from. And I found a new page on StatCounter today. It tells where they came from, so how they got to your site. So I'm looking at that page right now. And, you know, I had a huge amount that just type in my website. But then it says so many percentage from referred from other websites, referred from social media, referred from just a search engine, you know, like a question. And it's so interesting to see all that. You can really get an idea. And I have to tell you, I was fortunate enough to get on the cover of Southwest Art Magazine last February and had a little article in there. And I went onto my StatCounter because Leslie Seda helped me hook it up a long time ago. God for that. And I went on StatCounter just to see how it was affecting our views on our websites, our two websites. We had so many hits. It was amazing from all over the world. I was just beside myself, like 25 countries in the first day. And then they kept adding up from after that. And so, you know, it's so interesting that you're not only being seen by people in your hometown, you know, but maybe all over the world. And those kinds of things can lead to opportunities, whether being invited to a show or to be in a book or to be all sorts of things. So all that is great information. So check out StatCounter.
And that point is so important, because when those things happen, don't you want your site to be great? Because if it's not and you haven't done the stuff we've talked about, huge lost opportunity.
Yeah, true. You know, and another really good thing on StatCounter, it tells you the most popular pages. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So you really see, you know, where people are spending their time it's really good information for checking your site and seeing if it needs some revamping like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to update your site often on that note. And so as web users, we expect websites to have new content on a regular basis, just like on your blog. So if every time I land on a website and there's the same article about the painting contest you won back in 2008, then I probably won't check on your website anytime again.
Exactly.
So keep it fresh. Keep it exciting.
Yeah, very true. Simplicity, and I'm bringing this up twice because it's the key to engaging customers on websites. If your website is cluttered, it's going to reflect badly on your art. So your key points, whether it's text, image, video, whatever, should be made prominent on the page. And don't put too many things there. Leave space in between. You want that clean, kind of clean, relaxing, nice feel on your site. And can I just say that if you don't have good pictures of your paintings, don't bother. That came up when we were doing the workshop this week, and I noticed that there were a lot of photos of people's art that I knew did not do the art justice. And so one of the really important things you need to do is go back to your site and say, are these pictures of my paintings, do they look as pretty close to as good as the paintings do in real life? And if they're not even close, then you need to start changing how you're photographing your paintings. Mm-hmm. It's really important.
And cropping.
Yeah.
Because you know, so
you're not
half
your
frame.
Yeah. So that's not going to help your sales if you don't have good pictures of your art.
Yes. Now, we have a number, I can't believe we're at number 20, but I see that a lot of this, because we keep getting excited and talking about all sorts of things,
I know.
Is yeah. kind of similar. So I'm just going to go through it quickly. It's making the most effective means for increasing traffic to your website is to offer free, original, and quality content. So we've been kind of reiterating that all mm-hmm. along. But there's a couple of important things. So say, for instance, if you're looking at StatCounter and you see that somebody's going, or that most people are going to this one page most of the time, then that would be a good place to start to always keep regular updates on that page.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of frequently viewed. And so I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a really good way to use that stat counter to tell you what to do. You need to offer visitors information that they need to achieve a goal, solve a problem, be entertained, find out quality news,
yeah.
and offer information on how for them to buy your painting, too, which is another thing. Let's see. There's this... be sure and have a fully functioning, successful website. You need to make sure the tags are in place. We already mentioned that. Links are not broken. But you need to get it on Google search engine. And that's the most important thing out of this section that I would like to talk about. Go online. Write this down. Go online and Google, how do I get my website listed with Google?
Yes.
And find the information. There's a tool that inspects websites, and it helps find missing tags and links. There's a way to get a certain sitemap. It'll tell you how to create this sitemap, and you file it with Google, and it'll help get you results in minutes and get you further up on the listing with Google. So that's Google is, almost $900 share, and there's a reason.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
everyone uses Google.
That's so true. And the reason why we're not telling you exactly how to do it is it depends on how you designed your website. So if you designed your website, if it's a WordPress site or if it's a Weebly site or if it's a iWeb site, it's a little different process. So that's why you just need to Google, how can I add my or get my website listed in the Google search engines. And your site may still be coming up and you're not listed, but having that happen, it's really important. And I just did that for the website I created for our beach house because I'm doing the remodel blog, but we're also going to be renting it out. And I wanted to get it up there. And so it took me a little while to figure it out. It's not super simple, but it's definitely worth going through the steps. Very,
it
very
is.
Important.
And on those kinds of sites, do they tell you keywords to add in your headlines or
mm-hmm.
your first page? Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Definitely. Because that'll help with the search engine optimization, no doubt. Okay. photos of your art. When deciding which images to include on your art website, you always should make sure you are showing your best art. I get asked by artists all the time, including 2 days ago, how many paintings should I have on my website for sale? And my answer is always the same, all the good ones. And I know it sounds funny, but you need to realize that buyers have different tastes. They're looking for different subject matter, styles, colors, and sizes. So showing only 10 paintings on your site, if you have 100, makes no sense. Now, showing 200 paintings for sale might be a little overwhelming and send the message that your art isn't selling. So I think it's a good idea to, on your site, include paintings that have sold and paintings that are available. Because artists or buyers want to buy art from artists who are selling. So include your best art and don't limit yourself. And every once in a while, maybe go back to your site and think, my style's changed. I've really improved. I think I'm going to get rid of some of these paintings on here that I don't think I need to have for sale anymore.
Exactly. Okay,
yeah.
That's my gallery side coming out. If galleries are looking at your site or people that are putting on plein air shows or whatever it is, and they're going, oh, well, let's invite this person. Let's look at their website. Make sure you have your best work up there. And then go ahead and include the ones that are sold, but mark them sold because people love people that are successful and they're selling their art.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Get rid of the ones that are, not so good.
Mm-hmm. So, very, very true.
So you have to use social media. That's our next point, use social media. We've touched on that a bit. But you want to post compelling content and get a local following. So there's so much fun going on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and all those different ones that are very interesting. But, you know, I think if you could kind of leave out the part of I'm going to have lunch now, or I'm going to, you know, take a break now, or I'm going to, you know, leave that out.
Yeah.
Please just share it with some exciting information, ask some questions, get people to interact with you, follow you, keep up to date, try to post stuff that's worthwhile, you know,
mm-hmm.
make it well worth it. So people will talk about it, people will be interested in what you're doing, and they'll become a part of community, and they'll promote your content for you too. So if you put up something that's really interesting or worthwhile, then often you'll get shares, and then that'll bring you a whole new bunch of people that might be interested in different ways with the social media.
Yep. Now, the question I get, you know, besides using links, how do I increase my web traffic? So what you want to do is sit down and write a list of all the ways you can think to get people to go to your website. The hard part about teaching a one-day website class is everyone creates a website, they're so excited, but you can't just put it on the web and think that everyone's going to find you. If you don't drive people to the site, you will have no success, I promise you. There's like a billion websites out there. Now, you have to have one, but really advertising your presence is what it's all about. So I'm just going to go through quickly some various things you can do. Some of these are online, many of them are not, about ways you can get people to your site. The first is, if you can afford it, consider doing a little advertising online, pay-per-click. You know, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, they all have options. Facebook has a great way you can promote your posts. But, you know, find out, and the nice thing about pay-per-click is you can say, I'm going to spend $20 this month, and once you've spent $20, you're done. And it's great. You don't pay unless people actually click on your site, so it's a great way to do. There's another thing called e-zines, and it's spelled E-Z-I-N-E-S. These are electronic magazines. And there's a site called ezinearticles.com, and basically it allows expert authors in hundreds of niche fields, including art, to get massive levels of exposure in exchange for submitting a good, really good original article. So you can write and submit your articles that relate to your website, and of course include links back to your website. So this is a whole nother realm of people out there who certainly buy art, and
you can
become an expert and open the door. And have I ever done this? No.
Oh, that was my next question.
Yes. So you can submit your articles that you write to e-zines, to websites and writing sites that accept these submissions. And, of course, you want to make sure you have links, backlinks to your website. And it's also a great way to get listed in search engines and just improve visibility. And it's a whole new audience. So you also, as these articles start getting published in places, you have no idea where they're going to get picked up. And someone else doing something may refer to your article. I mean, it's kind of one of these pyramid things that could just be incredible. So, and that's ezineearticles.com. So you want to go beyond the electronic medium and into the print medium, so you can advertise in local newspapers, business brochures, magazines, nationwide art publications, of course, and various other things. So this all doesn't have to be online, because don't forget, there's a huge population of art buyers that aren't even online.
Hey, this 1 second, Leslie, don't forget about Vistaprint. You can make your own bumper stickers.
You know it.
Put your website on it.
And
just give
it
all to friends.
Small business cards and postcards left in cafes, exchange meetings. All this sends people to your website to buy your art. Trust me. You can use local resources such as clubs, libraries, community centers to make people more aware of your website. You can participate on message boards. Post answers to other people's questions. There was a time, and I really need to get back to this, there are so many forums about art that I used to post answers, especially about marketing, and I had tons of people that would go to my site because of it. So, you know, if you include your signature file containing your website URLs at the end of all your postings, people may go, hey, I really like what she had to say. I'm going to go check her out. You can start your own online discussion community. You know, you can add an online message board to your site. a chat room. There's ways to do all this. And when you get people involved in kind of what you're doing, they'll regularly return to communicate with others. And the last is the good old-fashioned word of mouth. Tell everyone you know about your art website. Give out business cards. And don't be shy. Share what you're doing because you love what you're doing. So, just saying.
Well, what about freebies?
We
should probably give away freebies, too. So that's another cool thing. I was thinking even posters or prints, but or downloads. Give me away a free e-book with your ad on it. Freebies are a common place, and they leave the visitor wanting more if they're well-written and informative introductory material. So
I was going to say, when I did the 30-day challenge in May, that was 30 marketing ideas. I created an e-book, and it's on my website. It's on my blog. It's a free download, and it's all
very
30
cool.
days of all the little things you should do. And one of them in there is a link checker that you can put the name of the address of your website in and press go, and it tells you all the links on your website that are broken. You don't even have to click on all of them yourself.
Where do I find that?
I don't remember
your blog?
The name of it. But just go on my blog, and there's a right on the right-hand side in bright, there's a really pretty bright red button that says 30 Marketing Ideas, and it says click here to download my free ebook.
Wow, I'm
and
going there right after we get done.
that every day also has one of my paintings on it, and it has, you know, all information about me. So ebooks are really good.
They are
you
good.
Ebook.
What about online classes and seminars too? Those are really neat. You can they could be held in your website's chat room. So we'll have to find out how to do a website chat room. Have you done that?
I have not, but Google it. There's so many ways you can do it. I mean, I have that when I do the 30 paintings in 30 days, there's a way, you know, you can post your painting on my blog. I just found that by Googling it. So, no, you can just Google how to add a chat room to your website, and it'll show you how to do it.
Very cool. I mean, you can have free demos and give free art buying advice to people that visit your art website. Boy, that's a great idea. I love that.
You should do one on how to buy art in a gallery. Hello?
Yes.
What a great ebook
the art
that would be.
Of buying art, which I
and
stole
it could
that
be
title from
an
John
ebook
Stern.
Can be 2 pages. It doesn't have to be like 50.
Wow, yes. That is a huge value, and it makes things more interesting, and it really makes it feel like you're looking out for them and they can trust you, and it's fun to do besides. They get to know you, and yeah. Got to do that. A little free demo, too, I think, is probably something I should get on for sure right away.
Everyone loves demos. The next topic is to be patient. Search engines need a lot of time to index a new website and domain. Okay, so just so you know, when I did the VenturaBeachCottage.net, my new site for our beach cottage, I went through the hassle of getting it listed on Google, and then 10 minutes later, I started searching for it, and I couldn't find it, and I was really mad. Which is so ridiculous because it takes like a couple days.
10 minutes later.
So it's worth the wait. That's and funny. You need to factor that in, that it's not going to happen instantaneously. So in the meantime, continue to add high-quality content to your website and keep it up to date and relevant. And, you know, if you build it, they will come. Well, it's kind of true, as long as you work hard to send people there.
Yeah, true. So whatever you do, whatever your business is, your homepage needs to be really important and have one goal. So we've given all sorts of wonderful ideas and all sorts of ways to maximize your website. But that first page, your home page, is really important. Whether it's selling your art, your books, your workshops, pick one thing and really get that home page just honed in.
Yeah, and I'm totally going to redo my home page this week. Absolutely,
me too.
I need to do that. Yeah, I really need to do that.
So everybody look at our pages now and then look at our pages next week and see if you can tell the difference.
Yeah, now that you told everyone to go to my website and copy mine, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, great. I should have redone everything before.
Oh, sorry about that.
That didn't happen.
Funny.
So one of the things we talked about was getting control of your website and if you're at that point where you want to start over. And if you're like Deborah and I who have websites on iWeb, which is a dying product – thank you, Apple.
Mm-hmm.
we wanted to find something, and I love your comments, Deborah, because you've used iWeb, which I think is a fabulous program, and you got a chance to take a look at what we did this week with Weebly. But I found a kind of a ranking of the best online web builders, and the top two perfect scores were one called Squarespace and one called Weebly.
Right,
and Squarespace. Squarespace, it says, sleek and sophisticated with lots of room for customization, great for blogs, portfolio sites, and users who already have an eye for design. And Weebly, which is the one I use in webinars and the one I teach in my one-day seminars, is the easiest way for anyone to build a website. If building a website intimidates you, you'll want to try Weebly. Then there's four that got 4 stars, not 5. Those are Webs, Verb, V-I-R-B, Yola, Y-O-L-A, and Edicy, E-D-I-C-Y. Then it goes down, and there's a lot more, but you know, it's so funny. What I thought so interesting about this is there's a company that advertises all the time. It's 1&1. I see it on TV all the time.
Whoa.
And they're at the bottom of the list with 1 star.
And GoDaddy, too.
I know. GoDaddy is more a search engine hosting company. They're trying to get into... And here's the thing, and I did so much research to find one that I thought was going to work for artists. And I know you kept saying to me this week, wow, it has that. Wow, it has that. And finding the right one really makes a big difference. So
it does. Yeah, so all you people out there that have people doing your websites for you, at least check out Squarespace and Weebly. Those are the top two recommendations that Leslie found online. If you can do it yourself and you can make your own changes 6 times a day if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
Every day you can change things. So it makes it so much easier than trying to gather the information for someone else to do and then wait for them to get around doing it. By the time they do, it's out of date. So,
well, look how much easier using Weebly is than using iWeb. Can you believe it? I mean,
very simple. On Weebly, just so people know that they already have buy now buttons, they already have ways to things that we'd have to go to other sites to do, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty incredible. And I'm going to be doing more one-day seminars, and these are hands-on. I'm going to add one to Atlanta because everyone keeps asking me to, a one-day seminar where I will literally stand there and make sure everyone by the end of the day has a new website. And if you already have one, maybe you want to build one for a show you have coming up, or maybe you want to build one that's just for your workshops. Who knows? Maybe you want to just learn how to do it and think about building a new website down the road. But they're really fun, and it's really exciting to see new websites by the end of the day. Very exciting.
So, Leslie, tell me real quickly, how does it work to do various websites?
Well, I have... Okay, you have 2 websites.
Right.
I have a website for my art website. I have a website for webinars. I have created website pages for things that were coming up. So I did a website page for a not Black Friday, but the what's the online sale that they do? Cyber Monday. I did a Cyber Monday, and I wanted to have a website that I could just offer specific things on sale, and it was so much easier for me to create it in Weebly than to do it in iWeb.
Oh, interesting.
So I just created a one-page website for that, and people could click to it. I have my Monday Open Studio, and when someone's on my website and they click on that, it takes them to another website that I created on Weebly that has my Monday Open Studio information. So there's a lot of ways, and you just have to make sure that when they do that, they can easily get back to your site, which is simple. But there's a lot of ways you can use these programs. And what happens, I think, is by doing this and you get so comfortable and familiar with it and you realize how easy it is, that eventually you'll probably end up doing your whole site.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Weebly, too, you put in a site name, right, and it'll offer some other ones that you can buy.
Right. Right.
With your name. And you want to touch on that because you like to buy a lot of different names to make sure that that you have all of your names covered, and then it points to one direction.
Yeah, no, when you design a site on these online builders, most of them will allow you to create LeslieSataFineArt.weebly.com for free. But eventually you're going to want to have it go to just to Leslie Sada Fine Arts. So just so you know how much that costs to do that. So this is your total cost you would have to spend an entire year to have to buy a domain name that you like, which is probably yourname.com or something, yournameandart.com, whatever it may be, and then to have a place where it's hosted on the web. All those costs on a yearly basis, I think it was $30-some dollars. That's it. And you have your own domain name. It's hosted by them. You can make your own changes. I mean, that's cheap. $30 a year, that's nothing.
Yeah.
So, I think it was $39, I think. So, you know, people that are spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars, it kind of doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I caution you. So anyway, it's a really exciting time, and it's something that, you know, if we're going to spend all this time talking about our art and all this time getting people to go to our website, we probably want to take a look at our websites and give them a little facelift. I think it's really important. And it doesn't have to be an overwhelming task. Even if you said, every Monday I'm going to spend a half an hour on my website and just tweaking things, I think you'd be happy where you are in a couple months. So
great stuff.
Yeah,
I'm going to download your notes just so that I have them, so I can double check stuff and look back at it.
You should, absolutely, and all the links and their work and everything. So it's an online document that was from the 30 and 30 marketing challenge I did in May. And don't forget, 9 days till the 30 and 30 paintings challenge. So get out there and get those supplies and get your studio organized and get ready, because what happened in January was simply amazing. It was so
I'm
much
on
fun.
It.
Deborah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you helping me out today.
It was great.
Yeah. And next week, Dottie will be on the show, and we're going to be interviewing Ken Oster, so I'm very excited.
Well, you'll have a great time. I really enjoyed my time and all your information. Thank you for everything that you do for all of us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And please check out Deborah Hughes, you guys, D-E-B-R-A-H-U-S-E. She's amazing.
Thanks, Leslie.
I really appreciate it. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.